On his 30th birthday 2 years ago, Ben Lupo decided to walk away from a six-figure salary with an Omaha insurance company and take a chance at becoming a professional gamer. Now he's known as Dr. Lupo, one of the country's most popular esports athletes. He showed off his Fortnite skills at State Farm corporate headquarters Thursday. GLT correspondent Joe Deacon speaks with Lupo about the growing popularity of esports and how Lupo managed to make gaming his career. He's now 32 and has been gaming since a young child.
Gaming at this level in esports is kind of the introduction of what I've been doing for a really long time as kind of part of the mainstream media, finally. Fortnite played a big part in that because now, finally, you have people that you never would expect to show up as big gamers. You have athletes and baseball players, football players. You've got movie stars, and like Jordan Fisher was on Dancing with the Stars, and he's a huge gamer. You have people coming out of the woodwork now that have been playing video games for a really long time as a hobby that are saying, yeah, I mean, I enjoy that too. And before Fortnite, Call of Duty kind of did that, but not on this scale. This is way, way bigger than I think anybody ever thought it would be. And so now esports blowing up in the way that it is and people getting largely invested, you can watch the World Cup on, in the game client in Fortnite or on Twitch or YouTube or Facebook or wherever. You've got people talking about gaming on Twitter at a scale that I don't think anybody ever expected. You now have companies like State Farm partnering with people like me that I'm extremely lucky to be the person that they chose to start with in the Fortnite side of things. I think gaming as a whole is being taken more seriously by more people in a way I don't think anybody thought possible, or at least not this quickly. It's changed very fast because of Fortnite and the way that things have kind of grown over the last few years.
So can you explain a little bit about Fortnite? How exactly does it work, and why do you think it's become so popular?
Fortnite is what they call Battle Royale. It's a genre of games. There are a bunch of other BRs, but it essentially means that 100 people drop onto an island, and you could be solo or in duos or teams of three or four, and everybody fights it out with, there's like weapons and stuff you pick up on the ground. And Fortnite has a lot of like silly gadgets and maybe an impulse grenade that'll like shoot you through the air if it goes off next to you, or like grappling hooks and all that kind of stuff. It's got a lot of, we call them shenanigans. It's the silly stuff. And whoever's the last person, the last team standing at the end wins. And there's like a storm that slowly shrinks and forces people together faster so that the game doesn't last forever. And it's not the first of its kind. There's been a lot of Battle Royale games before this, but it's the one that kind of did things correctly for the mainstream in a way that I don't think anybody else did. Because like Fortnite doesn't have, there's no blood. There's no, you shoot guns at each other, but like when somebody gets eliminated, they don't even say the word kill. Like they completely avoid it. I don't know if people listen to us cast the World Cup and stuff like that, which I get to do. We don't say the word kill at all. There's very specific language because they want to make sure that Epic, the company that makes Fortnite, they understand their audience. They know the age range and that everybody plays it. So they want to make it as acceptable as possible for as many people as possible, which I respect. Not a lot of companies would go out of their way to do that, and Epic with Fortnite, they've gone above and beyond. So everybody, you have people fighting it out all the way to the end, and on top of that, with other BRs, it's mostly just shooting. It's very reliant on accuracy and stuff like that, and your management of the skills in the game and how to aim. Fortnite adds the ability to build, which I think is the next, it's kind of the next step up, because it adds a second layer of skill required. A lot of people that play a lot are very good at aiming. Not a lot of people that play a lot are very good at building in that way and being able to do both at the same time. If you watch a competitive player like for the World Cup play, your brain will melt with how fast they are and what level of skill it takes to manage everything that they're doing at the same time. I'm pretty good, but I'm not that good. Not at that level. And the age range of some of these players is insane. The minimum age to play in the World Cup is 13, and there are a lot of 13, 14, 15-year-olds that are playing for literally millions of dollars in New York City towards the end of the month. It's scary.
Wow. You said you might have started gaming at an early age. What kind of games got you started, and when did you realize it was something you could do as a career?
What games got me started? Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and Super Metroid. I have three older brothers, and like I said, I'm 32. So I've been playing for a really long time. The NES was the first console that we had when we were kids. And I got a Super Nintendo and a Nintendo 64 and a GameCube. Like, we were fully invested into Nintendo's, like, hierarchy of consoles. As they came out, we would ask our parents for them for Christmas and stuff. So I played, you name it, growing up, I probably played it. And then once the Xbox came out, I made a big dedication to Halo. Halo is one of my favorite games of all time. Went away to college, and Halo is actually how I met a lot of my college friends, playing together in the dorms and stuff like that. But making it a full-time thing didn't happen. I still don't know if I can make it a full-time thing. We're just here doing whatever happens at the time. Because I consider myself one of the luckiest people in gaming as far as making a career out of this. And I owe it largely to the audience that has kind of built up around the channel. Super, super thankful to everybody that watches the YouTube and follows me on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. Thank you so much for that. But I didn't think it was going to be a full-time thing. Even as kind of a side hobby, I started streaming Destiny 1 and eventually built up a pretty solid audience, got partnered on Twitch, and was able to start making money off of it. And then on my 30th birthday, is actually, my wife and I had multiple conversations before that about whether or not, is this a thing? Can we make this a thing? Is this a possibility that I can stream for a living? And I worked at an insurance company in Omaha. I had a six-figure job. We had just had a kid. But she eventually said, you're only ever going to get one shot at doing this. If you're going to do it, you need to do it now. And so I put in my two-week notice. And on my 30th birthday, it was my last day. And I took a week off. And then I started stream up the next week at my normal 8 o'clock when I would drive to work. I started streaming, and I streamed a full day. And at the end of that, I told people that were watching, get used to this. This is my new schedule. I'm streaming full time starting today. And the support that came from that was overwhelming at the time. It was huge to see people come out of the woodwork and say, hey, dude, I've been waiting for you to go full time. This is super cool. And it has only really gone up since there, which still is amazing to me. That, like I said, I think I'm one of the luckiest people in the world when it comes to the gaming industry, and it's because of people that watch me.
This is Sound Ideas on GLT. I'm Joe Deacon, speaking with Ben Lupo, who's better known as Dr. Lupo in the gaming community. About how many hours a day do you spend gaming then?
So this is my full-time job. Parents, please take in consideration that that's the thing. Please don't shame me for this. I start at 8 a.m. and I go until 4 o'clock 5 days a week. And then Wednesday is my only full day off. Sunday evenings, I stream again for another 3 hours in the evening, along with all the other days, another 3 hours in the evening. So I stream about 65 hours a week. And then as far as the administrative stuff, like answering emails and taking phone calls and meetings and stuff like that, add in another like 10 to 15 hours of work. So I work 70 to 80 hours a week right now.
I understand you do a lot of charity fundraising through your gaming, and in fact, just a few days ago, you set a record by raising close to $1 million for the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. That was one 4.5-hour session, if I'm not mistaken. What was that experience like, and how did you do it?
Moving, to say the least. I took advantage of every connection that I have in a big way. A lot of people do charity stuff, and they go as full send into it as they possibly can. So I decided to do the same thing, and I contacted every company I've ever worked with for sponsorship stuff, including State Farm, and they showed up in droves with stuff for me to raffle away for people to win. And State Farm like you said, it was $920,000 in 4.5 hours. State Farm was $10,000 of that out of their own pockets, which I'm very thankful for that. This isn't the first time that they've donated either. Last December, I did a stream, a 24-hour stream, where I played Fortnite the whole time, called Build Against Cancer, and they donated $19,000 for 19,000 agents back then, and they're 100% dedicated to what I've been doing. But yeah, the charity stuff for the stream is huge, because, like I said, my platform rose up because of the people that support me and the people that see who I am as a person and that I want to try and do good with what I've done. Plus, oftentimes you see gaming painted into a bad light. The media does not certainly, they certainly don't enjoy most of the time saying super positive things about, like, Grand Theft Auto is one of those games that's used as like a target all the time, anytime something horrible happens, which I'm very sorry for. But there's a negative light put on gaming often because of that. And so I want to do what I can with what I've been given by the people to try and show the opposite, that gaming can do something really, really good. And I still can't believe we did almost $1 million in 4.5 hours. It blows my mind, man. Forbes, I think, said that it's the fastest that any gaming content creator has ever raised money for charity, ever. I don't know what to say about it more than that. I'm very thankful that people have decided to support me and what I want to do, you know?
Great. Well, you are the first esports athlete that's been sponsored by State Farm. So what does that sponsorship do, and what does that distinction mean to you?
So I've been a State Farm customer for actually a really long time. We've had insurance policies for like our cars for like 9 years. We have homeowners policy, a life insurance policy. Her business is insured by State Farm, so is mine. Before this even started, we had all those things already. My parents were State Farm customers too for years. And so they actually didn't even know that when we started to talk about a potential partnership. And when I told Ed Gold about it, he was like, this is becoming more and more of a no-brainer literally every second, because there's already a connection there. And so when they decided to partner with us, it's kind of like, you know, what can we do for them and what can they do for us? So the charity thing, that's a big piece of it as far as what State Farm can do for me and my channel and my family, because I want them to understand that gaming should be viewed in a positive light.
That's Ben Lupo, better known to his fans in the gaming community as Dr. Lupo, speaking with GLT correspondent Joe Deacon during his visit to State Farm corporate headquarters.